Well, it's obvious I can preach as long as I want to because we're in no rush. We're going to go this morning to an unusual place, passage of Scripture to go before you take communion. Leviticus chapter 16. That's the third book in the Old Testament. Page 91 in the official Pisgah United Methodist Church Holy Bible. Leviticus chapter 16. And we're going to begin reading with verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they drew near before the Lord and died. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron not to come just at any time into the sanctuary inside the curtain before the mercy seat that is upon the ark, or he will die. For I appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen tunic and shall have the linen undergarments next to his body, fasten the linen sash, and wear the linen turban. These are the holy vestments. He shall bathe his body in water and then put them on. He shall take from the congregation of the people of Israel two male goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering for himself and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the two goats and set them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Aaron shall cast lots on the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for Azazel. Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell for the Lord and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell for Azazel shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement over it, that it may be sent away into the wilderness to Azazel. Aaron shall present the bull as a sin offering for himself, and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall slaughter the bull as a sin offering for himself. He shall take a censer full of coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of crushed sweet incense, and shall bring it inside the curtain, and put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the covenant, or else he will die." A couple of weeks ago, a friend of ours who lives in Alabama was speaking on a Sunday night at a church here in Tallahassee, and so Sherry and I went to hear him. And after the service, we were standing there talking, and I was watching about four or five children that were probably somewhere between 5 and 8 years old running in the church. And then they climbed up the steps on the platform and they were running back and forth, and it brought back some childhood memories of mine. Up until I was 14 years old, I had to sit with my parents in church. Even when I had my first girlfriend, we had to sit with my parents in church. There was And they always sat at the same place. If you were standing at the front of the church, there were three sets of aisles. My parents always sat on the right side, third row from the front. So you were up close enough that if the preacher got here preaching, you could get spat upon. When you sat in church, there was no whispering, no giggling, no chewing gum, no squirming. There was nothing. You sat up straight. You focused on the preacher. I thought about it. If after church one Sunday, when I was a boy, if I would have taken off running in the church, I wouldn't have been able to sit down for about 3 days. And if you went up on the platform, the fire of God would strike you dead. And if it didn't, the fire of Robert West Sr., whatever God did not finish, he would. It was just, you just did not do that. Now, the Jewish tabernacle was represented the dwelling place of God for the nation of Israel. It was a holy place. It was a place of awe and reverence. It consisted, now of course the tabernacle, they did away with it. Solomon built the temple. But the temple was built on the same, and I'm not going to spit on you, so don't worry. The temple was built on the same pattern as the tabernacle. So the tabernacle, or the temple, later, had four parts. It had the outer court. So the outer court would be the yard. And there was a tall curtain that was 30 feet high that ran all the way around the tabernacle with one entrance that you could come into. And so the outer court, the temple, this is the area that was called the court of the Gentiles. It was the outer court where Jesus overthrew the money changers. So if in our thinking today of Pisgah, the outer court would be the yard. You could hear what was going on, you couldn't see it, and you couldn't participate in it. Then there was the inner court. And the inner court, let's consider that's the foyer, the vestibule, where you come in. That was the inner court. That was where you could come in if you were not a Gentile. You could come into the inner court and participate. This is where in the temple, this is where the women could gather for church. They could gather in the inner court, but they couldn't come into here. Then there was the holy place. The holy place had an altar that was in front of this curtain, and that was the altar of the Lord, and that's where Aaron and the priests would bring the sacrifices on a daily basis and offer them to God. There was a washstand which they would wash their hands. There was a candlestick there. That's where Hanukkah came from. The candlestick, the menorah, the candles had to be kept lit all the time. And so there was a candlestick there sitting on a table. There was a brazen altar. Then there was the Holy of Holies, and that's this area, okay? Except imagine a curtain that comes down from the ceiling all the way to the floor. And there's no opening in the curtain where you can just step in. So there's this veil of the temple that runs from that wall to that wall, right where these columns are, from the ceiling down. And inside this area is the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant. This is the ark that has the manna in it, the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod that budded. On top of it was called the mercy seat. They put a gold lid across the top of it, and on that lid there were two angels of solid gold who were facing each other, who were bent down in reverence, and the tips of their wings were touching. So when God is speaking to Aaron about coming in, he's talking to him about coming in to this area, the Day of Atonement. This text, and I've got to hurry, this text deals with how God was to be approached by the people. What set the groundwork for this passage of Scripture comes out of Leviticus, the 10th chapter. Aaron had four sons. Two of his sons got drunk, and they took their censers. We come in this morning, we come in with this to light the candles. We bring the light in, we take the light out. They had censers, which were like, imagine this candlestick, except it has a solid piece across it, and they would put incense there and coals. Okay, so then they would bring this. Aaron was to bring this. So Aaron, two of his sons, got drunk, and they took the censer. There was a specific, God even outlined how they were to make the incense that was to be brought for him. They just didn't run down to Walmart and buy a little bit of incense. It had to be made a particular way. It had to contain a certain ingredients. And God even told them the portions of how much of each ingredient was to go in that. They were to take that censer of, of incense, they were to take coals off this altar that is outside the Holy of Holies, put it on that censer, it would ignite that incense and it would begin smoking. So now you know, those of you who came out of the Catholic Church, why the priest comes in and they're waving incense. It's not just to make the church smell good, okay? Now, Aaron, two of his sons get drunk. They just gather up some incense. They decide they'll visit God. They get drunk. They put some incense on the censers. They go to the altar. They get some coal. They drop it on there. It starts smoking. They decide we're going in to see God. They go in to see God. And Leviticus 10 says fire came out of the holy place and destroyed them. And so, in Leviticus 16, God, in fact, this is what God said in Leviticus 10 after the sons are dead. This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. God, Moses told Aaron and his other two sons, he said, don't even weep for your brothers. Don't cry for them. Don't shed a tear for them. God has judged them. I mean, this was a very awe-inspiring, get your attention, come to Jesus moment for Aaron. And so God, in Leviticus 16, God says to Moses, I'm going to give Aaron instructions on how he is to come into my presence. And we just read it. First of all, God says to him, there is a set time to come into my presence. I'm not an idol. You can't just pop me up whenever you want to. I'm God. There's a set time in which you're to come into my presence. Verse 2 of Leviticus 16, tell your brother Aaron that he shall not enter at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat which is on the altar, or he will die. So he says to Aaron, don't come in here anytime you want to. There's a specific day. We call it the Day of Atonement. Once a year, Aaron, you can come into the holy place. And then he says there's a determined manner in which Aaron can come into my presence. Verse 3, Aaron shall enter the holy place with this, with a bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He could not come into God's presence without an offering. Don't, in other words, he's saying to Aaron, don't come in empty-handed. When you come into my presence, you bring me an offering. Thirdly, he was to cleanse himself before coming into God's presence. Verse 4, he shall put on the holy linen tunic and the linen undergarment shall be next to his body. He shall be girded with the linen sash and attired with the linen turban. These are holy garments. Then he shall bathe his body in water and put them on. He was to cleanse himself. He was to wash himself from the defilement of life. He was walking around in sandals. There was, think about it. They're offering sacrifices every day in this area. There's blood. He's walking through it every day. He's walking every day where animals are animal feces, and he's walking through dirt and mud, and all this is on him. And God says, when you come into my presence, the first thing you've got to do is cleanse yourself. Don't come before me defiled. Don't come before me bringing the defilement that represents life. In fact, Paul picked up on that same theme in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. When he's talking about communion, he said, first, before a man comes to the table of the Lord, first let him examine himself. Jesus picked up on that same theme. He said, when you come to the altar and you bring an offering to God, and there at the altar you remember that you have aught against your brother, leave your offering at the altar. First, go find your brother, be reconciled to him. And he said, then come back and bring your offering to God. Aaron bathing himself was a twofold expression. First of all, it was washing off the body odor. It was washing off the stench. It was washing off the stuff he had walked through. But it also spoke to the nation of Israel of a deeper cleansing, a cleansing of the heart. Not just the washing off of dirt, but the cleansing of the heart. And then the next thing, Aaron had to shed blood before he could come into God's presence. Leviticus 16, verse 6 and verse 11, God says, "Then Aaron shall offer the bull for the sin offering, which is for himself, that he may make atonement for himself and for his household. Then Aaron shall offer the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his household, and he shall slaughter the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself." Aaron had to come into the presence of God with a realization that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve have sinned and they've taken fig leaves and clothed themselves and they've hidden in the bushes and God finds them. And the Bible says that God clothed them with skins. God himself killed an animal, stripped the skin off of it, and formed and fashioned for Adam and Eve garments to wear. Adam and Eve, when they put that garment on, it reminded them that in order to have relationship with God, it's not man's works going picking out fig leaves. It takes the shedding of blood. And so God says, tell Aaron that there has to be the shedding of blood when he comes into my presence. The next thing he says is this, Leviticus chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. He shall take a fire pan full of coals from upon the altar before the Lord. That's this altar right out here on the other side of the veil. And two handfuls of finely ground sweet incense, and bring it inside the veil. He shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the ark of the testimony. Otherwise, he will die. Aaron comes in. I remember as a kid in the summer, I always liked it when you could hear the mosquito truck coming, because they'd spray that thick smoke. And you could get out and run and play in it and inhale it and chase each other and just have a good time. You know, you didn't care about the mosquitoes getting killed. It was like, man, fog coming out of the back of a truck. Let's run. Let's play. Aaron brings this incense in and it's just billowing smoke. Why? The smoke of the incense. And God said it's to be sweet incense. The smoke of the incense came between Aaron and God. It covered Aaron. It clouded Aaron, because Aaron has not yet brought the blood to the altar. And so Aaron is coming in. Oh, he's bathed and he's got on all the holy garments, but he's not yet brought the blood to the mercy seat. And the blood represented the payment for sin. Aaron has not yet presented his offering to God. And so God says, Moses, tell Aaron, don't just come in there with the blood. He's got to come in there and there's got to be a smoke screen between me and Aaron. So, because if he does not, and I see the sin that's in Aaron's life that has not yet been covered by the blood of this bull, he's going to die. It was a holy thing to come into the presence of God. It was it grabbed your attention. God said, if you come to me and only bring the blood, before you cover me so that I cannot see sin, because God said in the Old Testament, I cannot look upon sin. So Aaron, if you come in there, you first bring that incense and let it smoke up this mercy seat where I am, so that I will not see you until you put the blood on the mercy seat. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Isaiah 59, verse 2, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Two times in the instructions that Moses gives Aaron, two times Moses says to Aaron, if you don't follow these instructions, you will die. Just like your sons, Aaron, you will die. Jewish tradition tells us that the priest, his robes, there were bells around the bottom of it. So when he went into the Holy of Holies and was walking, moving around, the people outside could hear the tinkling of the bells and know that he was still alive. And they would tie a rope around his ankle so that if he went in there and God destroyed him, they could drag him out because nobody wanted to go in there to get him. To come into God's presence required man to bathe himself, to clothe himself with holy garments, to bring an offering, but not just to bring an offering. Before he brought that offering, he had to bring some kind of covering between him and God himself. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. The writer of Hebrews says this, and think about what he's saying now in light of what I just told you. Therefore, brethren, since we, not just the high priest, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The commandments that Moses gave Aaron from God, of Aaron, what you're supposed to do, the writer of Hebrews says Jesus did it for you. And now we don't have to bathe ourselves in holy water. We don't have to put on holy garments. We don't have to just wait once a year to come to his presence. We don't have to bring incense to cloud over the altar so that God cannot see us in our sinful condition. We don't have to slaughter a bull and bring that bull and sprinkle the blood out all over this area so that our sins will be covered. The writer of Hebrews said Jesus did it. Jesus, the Holy One, who was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He came after he ascended back to the Father. He came and brought to the Father his shed blood and said, Father, this blood is not for me. It's not to cover my sins. It's for my children. It's to cover their sins. And now, Father, when they come to you, you see them through the blood, my blood. And Paul, the writer of Hebrews says, so we come boldly before the throne of grace. We come boldly. Aaron, the high priest, never came boldly. There was always in their minds the fear of what if I missed one point? What if I missed one detail? And when I step behind that veil, it's over. We don't have that. We come into the presence of God. We come to this table. We partake of this cup that represents his shed blood. We partake of this bread that represents his body. We come and we come to the altar boldly because his body was broken. His blood was shed. And so we come now as recipients of the grace and the mercy of God. And so, Father, now, in the name of your Son, Jesus, our hearts are prepared by your word. Our hearts are prepared by the singing. Our hearts are prepared by giving. Our hearts are prepared by fellowshipping one with another. And now we come, Father, into your presence. And we come boldly. We come with full assurance of faith knowing that we can pass through the veil, that is the flesh of Jesus Christ, His body that is represented by this body, by this bread, His blood that is represented by this cup, we come into Your presence boldly today, Father, with hearts of gratitude and thanksgiving. Thank You, Jesus, for being our high priest. Thank You, Jesus, for shedding Your blood. Thank You, Jesus, for taking that blood and presenting it to the Father. And thank You, Father, for accepting us in and through Your Son. Amen. Amen.